Friends by Mail.
The Sabbath day is a special day. As sisters, we love to keep the Sabbath day holy together. We watch family videos instead of watching other movies. We read the friend and play games together. We have family council as a family where we gather at the table and go through the calendar for the week, have a solo, tell a scripture story, and do other fun things. We know we are blessed when we keep the Sabbath day holy. Catherine, Charity, and Allie M., ages 9, 5, and 10, Idaho, USA.
How I read The Friend. I really like The Friend magazine. I especially like to listen to it. Every month, my dad downloads the magazine and burns it to a CD so that I can listen to it being read to me as I fall asleep at night. Jordan N., age 9, Utah, USA.
Praying for my brother. In the September 2012 Friend, my favorite article was All-Star Brother by John P. Buentello. I can kind of relate to that particular story. My brother, who is 4, often talks and sounds frightened in his sleep, so I pray for him. Most of the time he stops talking in his sleep, so I can get to sleep and be well-rested for school the next day. Kate E., age 12, Washington, USA.
Dear friends, when you think of someone who is brave, you might think of a firefighter or an explorer. But children are also very brave in doing what they know is right. Turn to page 21 to read the amazing story of a boy from Nigeria who had to show great bravery to obey the word of wisdom. How many other stories about bravery can you find in this issue? Write and tell us about a time when you showed bravery in choosing the right. Be brave. The Friend.
Note. Was there a letter or story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail. From the First Presidency, there is work to do. By President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. How I admire men, women, and children who know how to work. How the Lord loves the laborer. A laborer is someone who works. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 79. Those who are unafraid to roll up their sleeves and lose themselves in the pursuit of worthwhile goals are a blessing to their families, communities, nations, and to the church. The Lord doesn't expect us to work harder than we are able. He doesn't, nor should we compare our efforts to those of others. Our Heavenly Father asks only that we do the best we can, that we work according to our full capacity, capacity meaning ability, however great or small that may be. Work is a doorway to possibility. Whatever our circumstances, let us do the best we can and cultivate a reputation for excellence in all that we do. Let us set our minds and bodies to the glorious opportunity for work that each new day presents. President Thomas S. Monson put it this way, it's in the doing, not just the thinking, that we accomplish our goals. There is work to do. From an October 2009 General Conference Address. Sidebar, a new life. When President Uchtdorf was 11, his family moved from East to West Germany. Although his new life was difficult, working helped him adjust. He said, that's the thing about work. If we simply keep at it, steady and constant, things certainly will improve. Keep at it. How could work help in these situations? 1. Claire can never find her shoes because her room is messy. 2. Diego wants to do better on spelling tests. 3. Eric wishes he could dribble a basketball better. 4. Reading the Book of Mormon is difficult because Alina doesn't know all of the words. 5. Aiden feels shy when he meets new people. 6. Lena's mom is tired and the baby starts crying. Pick something that you could work on and set a goal to accomplish it. End of the article from the First Presidency, There is Work to Do, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
Writing It Right, by Jan Pinborough, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Kara knew the truth, but could she be brave enough to write about it? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Kara put down her pencil and stared at the piece of paper on her desk. It was blank except for her name and a big eraser smudge. What should I write? She thought. Across the aisle, her friend Lily was writing busily. Kara put her head down and rested it on her arm. Kara really liked her new school. It was in a church building of another religion, and her new class was small enough that her teacher, Mrs. Schmidt, had time to help her with math. Every day after math, Mrs. Schmidt taught a lesson from the Bible. Usually, the Bible lessons were a lot like what Kara had learned at home and in primary. But a few weeks ago, during a lesson about baptism, Mrs. Schmidt had told the class that babies who died before they were baptized couldn't go to heaven. Then she said that one of her own children died right after he was born. When she said that, Mrs. Schmidt looked like she was going to cry. But babies who died do go to heaven, Kara wanted to say. If only Mrs. Schmidt knew that, maybe she wouldn't be so sad anymore. But Kara felt too shy to say anything. After school, Kara told Mom about what Mrs. Schmidt said. Knowing that babies go to heaven is one of the blessings we have because of the Book of Mormon, Mom said. Kara hoped that Mrs. Schmidt would read the Book of Mormon someday. She wished she had the courage to tell her about it. Now, in today's lesson, Mrs. Schmidt had told the class that God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are all one person. Kara thought about how Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith in the Sacred Grove. She knew that they were two separate people and that each of them had a body. She was glad she knew that for sure, even before talking to Mom or Dad about it. But then Mrs. Schmidt had said, "Class, please take out a piece of paper and write about what we have been talking about." That's when Kara got a worried feeling in her stomach. She wanted to do the assignment the way her teacher wanted her to. Could she be brave enough to write what she knew was true? With her head down on her desk, Kara began to say a silent prayer. "Please, dear Heavenly Father, what should I do?" Almost at once, Kara began to feel calm and peaceful inside. The Holy Ghost whispered that if she wrote what was in her heart, everything would be okay. Kara lifted her head, picked up her pencil, and began to write. "Heavenly Father and Jesus are two separate people. They have bodies of flesh and bone like we do. The Holy Ghost is a spirit who can speak to us in our hearts." After writing a few more sentences, Kara put her pencil down. She didn't know what Mrs. Schmidt would think of what she had written, but she felt happy that she had been able to tell her teacher something important and true. Sidebar: in your own way, you can share the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. End of the story. Writing It Right by Jan Pinborough.
Special Witness: Why is it important to have both the Bible and the Book of Mormon? By Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. Both the Bible and the Book of Mormon are necessary for our salvation. What a blessing it is to have the account of the mission of our Lord and Savior declared in the Book of Mormon to add a second witness to the doctrine declared in the Bible. Both are necessary for us to teach and learn about the full and complete doctrine of Christ.
From The Power of Deliverance, Ensign, May 2012, pages 94 through 97.
End of Special Witness.
Bright Idea Poster. This month's Bright Idea poster shows a mother lovingly wiping off ice cream off the face of her young son with the following caption: "I love everything about you. Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, Primary General President." From an April 2013 General Conference Address. End of the Bright Idea poster. "I love everything about you."
Bobby's Birthday Surprise by Charlotte Cantwell and Charlotte Mae Shepherd, based on a true story. The tallest block tower in the universe would have to wait. By love, serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Bobby bounded down the stairs to his toy chest full of building blocks. It was Friday. That meant there was only one day left of freedom before Saturday. Bobby didn't like Saturday mornings. Every Saturday, his family had to do their chores. There was mopping and dusting, vacuuming and scrubbing. They even had to clean their bedrooms. Bobby sat down beside his block chest and started building the tallest block tower in the universe. He knew it was important to get the house ready for Sunday. But what was the point of a weekend if you spent so much time working? As Bobby continued building, he heard someone talking in the kitchen.
"But Mom, my birthday is on Saturday,"
his older sister Charlotte said.
"Working tomorrow morning will ruin the whole day. Can I do my chores today instead?"
"That sounds like a great idea," Mom said.
Charlotte left the kitchen and walked upstairs. Bobby stopped building to watch her go. Tomorrow was Charlotte's birthday. Good thing she could get her chores over with now. He turned back to his tower, then stopped. He set his blocks down. Maybe she doesn't have to do her chores at all, he thought. Bobby raced up the stairs to see Charlotte wheeling the vacuum cleaner down the hall. Before she could plug it in, he ran over to her.
"Stop, don't do your chores,"
Bobby cried out. Charlotte shook her head.
"I can't stop," she said. "If I don't do them today, then I'll have to do them on my birthday, and that's no fun."
She started to plug in the vacuum cleaner, but Bobby stepped in front of her.
"But I want to do them for you. I'll do both of our chores. You don't have to do any of them."
Charlotte looked up, surprised.
"You would do that for me?"
Bobby winced a little inside. He knew it was going to be a lot of work. There would be two bathrooms to scrub and two rooms to clean. He looked over at the tallest block tower in the universe. There might not be time this weekend to finish it after all. But he looked back at his sister and smiled.
"Yes, happy birthday."
A huge smile spread across Charlotte's face. She gave Bobby a big hug.
"Thank you,"
she said as she ran happily down the hall. Bobby looked over at the vacuum. Plugging it in, he started working on the first of Charlotte's Saturday chores. His sister was worth it. The tower would have to wait. Sidebar: the needs of others are ever present, and each of us can do something to help someone. President Thomas S. Monson. End of the story, Bobby's Birthday Surprise, by Charlotte Cantwell and Charlotte Mae Shepherd.
Question Corner. Note: responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Question: my big sister used to be my best friend, but now she's too busy with her school friends, and she doesn't want to play with me anymore. How can we be friends again? Response from readers.
Our advice is to sit down and talk to your sister. Let her know you're feeling left out. And maybe you could set a day once a week where you do something together. And that's your special time. Cody, Jaden, Patrick, and Jason B., ages 9, 9, 8, and 8, Ireland.
Don't turn down opportunities to talk or be with her. Folding the laundry, washing the dishes, or setting the table would all be good ways to communicate. Have fun! JCW, age 9, Oregon, USA.
You can tell your sister how much you miss playing with her and ask her nicely to play with you. Gabby G., age 6, Indiana, USA.
My sister is a busy teenager, and we used to have so much fun. I find if I keep asking her nicely, she will find time for me. Benjamin N., age 9, Colorado, USA.
You can kneel down and pray and ask Heavenly Father if he would help you and your sister be friends again. Malika L., age 9, Hawaii, USA.
First, I would find her when she's not busy and ask her if she wants to play right then. Second, I would let her have time with her friends and homework. Last, I would write nice notes to her. I am an older sister. Those are some things my sister did. Anna Claire K., age 12, Utah, USA.
One way you could try to be friends again with your big sister is by loving her even more.
You can show that love by praying for her and serving her often. Relena A., age 8, Utah, USA.
If she was my big sister, I'd talk to my sister about it with my mom. Layla D., age 8, Alberta, Canada.
Next question. I get really nervous whenever it's my turn to give a talk in church. What are some things I can do to not feel so scared? Do you have some advice about this? Send us your answer and photo by September 30th, 2013. Find our address on page 48 or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. Put question corner in the subject line. Remember to include a parent's permission. End of question corner. Bulletin board. Comfy conference desk. General conference is October 5th and 6th. You can make a lap desk to use while taking notes or drawing pictures of your favorite conference moments. Be sure to ask a parent for help. You will need one regular or legal size clipboard, tacky or bonding craft glue, a small pillow about the size of your clipboard, yarn or ribbon, and a pen or pencil. What to do? Step 1. Cover the bottom of the clipboard with glue, leaving a 1-inch margin around the edges. Step 2. Lay the clipboard glue side down onto the pillow and put heavy books on the clipboard to help the glue set. Step 3. Tie one end of the yarn to the metal ring or clip at the top of your clipboard and the other end around your pen or pencil. Step 4. When the glue dries, you're ready to write or draw.
I love to see the temple. Have you met Emery yet? On pages 18 and 19, she tells about life in Australia. Use the table of contents at the front of this magazine to solve the puzzle below and discover how many temples there are in the land down under. What is the page number of this month's Matt and Mandy cartoon? Take that number and subtract the page number of this month's I Hope They Call Me on a Mission. Add 1. Check your answer on page 48.
Ask yourself, how can I be a good sport while playing with others?
Missionary moments. My dad coaches a high school baseball team. I'm the bat boy. I travel with the team on their baseball trips. Sometimes when our team players struck out or didn't play well, they would swear. This made me feel bad inside. I told them not to swear. They stopped swearing. Even though I am young, I was able to be an example to others who are big. I know this makes my Savior happy. Toby S., age 8, Utah, USA.
Following Jesus. Be patient. Jesus Christ said, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Jesus was never impatient with those who didn't understand his teachings. Instead, he loved them and helped them learn. For example, the Nephites didn't understand his teachings all at once, so Jesus visited them several times. Instead of being angry or frustrated, he said, "Prepare your minds for the morrow, and I come unto you again." 3 Nephi, chapter 17, verse 3.
This month's challenges. Challenge 1. When you notice someone patiently helping you, say thank you. Challenge 2. The next time you start to feel impatient with someone, pray for help to act how Jesus would act. Challenge 3. Be patient with yourself the next time you make a mistake while trying to learn something new. End of Bulletin Board.
On the Trail, The Nauvoo Temple and Carthage Jail by Jennifer Maddy. Come along to explore these important places in church history. In 1841, many of the saints in Nauvoo were poor, but they knew they needed to build a temple as the Lord had told them. More than 1,000 men worked to build the temple. Women sewed shirts and cooked for the workers. Many people sacrificed to build the temple. They looked forward to the blessings they would receive there. Carthage Jail. Work on the temple stopped in June 1844 when the prophet Joseph Smith was killed. Joseph and several other men had been taken to Carthage Jail. On June 27th, a mob stormed the jail. They shot and killed Joseph and his brother Hiram. Finishing the temple. The saints were brokenhearted that their prophet was gone. Brigham Young, who was president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, knew the Lord's work would continue. The saints finally finished the temple. Church leaders worked in the temple day and night so the saints could be baptized for their ancestors and be sealed as eternal families. Rebuilding the temple. After the saints left Nauvoo, the temple was destroyed by fire and a tornado. In 1999, President Gordon B. Hinckley announced that the Nauvoo Temple would be built again in the same place. Today, you can see this beautiful temple just as it looked back in the 1840s. The original Nauvoo Temple had 30 sunstones. On the temple, crescent moons were carved on the outside walls of the temple. The mob ran up a stairway in Carthage Jail to get to Joseph and his companions. Statues of Joseph and Hiram stand in front of the Carthage Jail. In life, they were not divided, and in death, they were not separated. Doctrine and Covenants, section 135, verse 3. Joseph and the other men were in an upstairs room at the jail. End of the article. On the Trail, The Nauvoo Temple and Carthage Jail, by Jennifer Maddy.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Christ teaches about the temple. In Nauvoo, the prophet Joseph Smith received important revelations from Jesus Christ. He learned that people could be baptized in the temple for those who had died. Before this, people thought that those who died without being baptized could not go to heaven. The saints rejoiced. Now they knew that their loved ones could go to heaven. Joseph Smith also learned that people could be sealed to their families in the temple. Before this, people didn't know that they could be with their families after they died. The saints were so happy. Now they knew that their families could be together forever. End of Stories of Jesus. Jesus Christ teaches about the temple.
Music, Jesus is My Shepherd. Words and music by Tammy Symister Robinson. Copyright 2001 by Tammy Symister Robinson. 2013 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated, all rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church or home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. Original version found at music.lds.org. Jesus is my shepherd. I'm his precious lamb. Tenderly he guides me with his gentle hand. Calmer waters where he leads. Greener pastures where he feeds me. Jesus is my shepherd. He loves me. Verse 2. Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus knows my name. For his sheep are numbered. Each he loves the same. If my tiny feet should roam, he would seek to bring me home. Jesus is my shepherd. He loves me. He loves me. End of music. Jesus is my shepherd. Words and music by Tammy Symister Robinson.
Friends around the world. Emery from Australia. My name is Emery B. I'm 9 years old, and I'm from Australia. I live in one of the driest continents in the world, but I love where I live. Australia is in the Southern Hemisphere. That means that when many people in the Northern Hemisphere are celebrating Christmas in the cold and snow, everyone in Australia is enjoying warm weather and sunny beaches. Australia is home to the world's largest species of crocodile, the saltwater crocodile, which can grow to be up to 20 feet or 6 meters long. My favorite pastime is reading. That's why my mum calls me a bookworm. One of my favorite desserts is a meringue cake filled with whipped cream and fruit. It's named after a famous ballerina named Anna Pavlova. Pavlova, be sure to ask an adult for help when you make this recipe. 3 egg whites, 3 tablespoons cold water, 1 tablespoon cornstarch, 3/4 cup sugar, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon vinegar, 1 teaspoon vanilla. Beat egg whites until very stiff. Add water and beat again. Thoroughly mix cornstarch, sugar, and salt, and add it gradually to the egg whites, beating well. Fold in vinegar and vanilla. Pile the mixture onto greased wax paper on a cooking sheet or in a well-greased, deep, round cake pan. Bake at 325 degrees Fahrenheit, 160 degrees Celsius, for 15 minutes. Then turn off the heat and leave it in the closed oven for 1 hour. Serve with whipped cream and strawberries or kiwi fruit. Because of President Monson's example of service, our family was inspired to get a small puppy. We will raise her until she's ready to be trained. After she's trained, someday she will help someone with a disability have an easier life. My neighborhood is in between the hills and beaches, so there are many things for my family and me to do, from climbing mountains to swimming in the ocean. Let's explore. Australia is the world's biggest island, the world's smallest continent, and the world's sixth largest country. The first time church missionaries came to Australia was in 1840, just 10 years after the church was officially organized. In Australia, you just might see a koala bear in a eucalyptus tree, a hopping kangaroo in the outback, and a crocodile in the rivers. The kookaburra birds actually sound like people laughing. Hear Emery's testimony on One in a Million at lds.org/friend. End of the section, Friends Around the World. Emery from Australia.
Friend to Friend, Faithful Examples, by Sister Jean A. Stevens, First Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. And a little child shall lead them. 2 Nephi chapter 21, verse 6. As a member of the Primary General Presidency, I love meeting children all over the world. Everywhere I go, I meet wonderful children who are following Jesus Christ and faithfully living the gospel. Often they are leading their families and others in keeping the commandments. Once a general authority visited a ward in Hong Kong where people were struggling to support their families. He told the bishop that the members should pay their tithing. The bishop was worried. The people barely had enough food and money to meet their needs. If they will pay their tithing, the Lord will bless them, the general authority said. The bishop thought for a moment. Then he said, I will talk to some of the most faithful members of our ward, the primary children. The next Sunday, the bishop visited the primary. He taught the children about the law of tithing. He asked them to pay tithing on the money they earned. The children promised they would, and they did. Several months later, the bishop had a meeting with the grown-ups in the ward. He told them that their children had been paying tithing. Would you be willing to pay tithing too? He asked. The grown-ups were touched by the children's faithful examples. They said that they would pay their tithing too. Because the children set an example, their families received the blessings they needed. See Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Everyone's faith and testimonies grew. Wherever you live, you can lead others with your good example. Keep the commandments and follow Jesus Christ. Then you will be a blessing to your family and others. We pray for you, and we know that, just like the children in Hong Kong, your example can make a difference for good. End of the article. Friend to Friend, Faithful Examples, by Sister Jean A. Stevens.
I Chose the Right, by Akin B., age 7, Nigeria. If I refused to drink the wine, I could be punished, and so could my family. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Alma, chapter 37, verse 35. I went with my family to visit my parents' village for a New Year's celebration. It had been 3 years since we had visited last, and we were looking forward to seeing friends and family members again. When we arrived, we were happily welcomed. When New Year's Eve came, we gathered with others for a traditional ceremony to wish protection, long life, and prosperity to the oldest son of each family. I am the oldest son in my family. I learned that all those taking part would be expected to drink wine as part of the ceremony. I was very worried. I knew that drinking the wine would be breaking the word of wisdom. But I also knew that if I did not drink the wine, I might be punished for being disrespectful, and my family might be punished too. Then I remembered what my mother had taught me. When you find yourself in a situation you cannot control, you should pray to Heavenly Father and ask Him to help you. I prayed silently, "Heavenly Father, let Thy Spirit guide me and help me to do what is right." When it was my turn to drink the wine, I was nervous, but I spoke loudly and clearly, "My body is a temple. I will not break the word of wisdom," I said. The village elder was very surprised. He turned to me and said, "You seem very sure of what you are doing. Please, we would like to hear more of your views." My family and I were not punished, and our faith was strengthened. I know Heavenly Father helped me have the courage to choose the right. End of the article. I Chose the Right, by Akin B., age 7, Nigeria.
Cleaning Up Dirt Clods, by Alyssa J. Kirkham, based on a true story. Help me, dear Father, to truly repent, making things right and changing my ways. Children's Songbook, page 99. Gabby and her friend Milo were playing in the dirt in her yard.
"Hey, look at this,"
Milo said. He had what looked like a rock in his hand, but when he squished it, it turned into powdery dirt.
"Whoa,"
Gabby said.
"Are there more of those?"
They dug through the dirt and found several more clods.
"Watch this,"
Gabby said, and she threw a dirt clod high up in the air. It sailed over the chain-link fence and landed on the neighbor's driveway, breaking in a big smear of dust.
"Awesome,"
Milo said, and they took turns throwing the clods and watching them explode. Suddenly, Gabby heard a car driving up.
"Oh no, someone's coming. Hide,"
she said. They ducked around the edge of Gabby's house just as the car pulled over the driveway and into the garage. They giggled nervously. They heard the car door open and shut.
"Who threw dirt in my driveway?"
they heard a voice say. Gabby knew that must be Mrs. Fitzer, her elderly neighbor.
"How am I going to clean this up?"
Milo laughed quietly, but Gabby didn't feel like laughing. After Milo went home, Gabby went inside and tried to play with her dolls, but she couldn't get Mrs. Fitzer's sad voice out of her head. Mrs. Fitzer lived alone, and old age made it hard for her to do many things, including cleaning up her driveway. Gabby hadn't meant to be rude to Mrs. Fitzer, but now she realized that throwing the dirt had been mean. She felt sad and sorry for what she had done. Then Gabby remembered a lesson she had had in primary about repentance. "When you do something wrong," her teacher had said, "you need to first feel sorry about it. Then you apologize and ask for forgiveness and make it better if you can. Then you promise not to make the mistake again." "I can make this right," Gabby thought. Gabby went to the garage and grabbed a big push broom. Then she got to work sweeping the dirt off the driveway. It took a long time, but finally the driveway was clean again. Then Gabby rang Mrs. Fitzer's doorbell. When Mrs. Fitzer opened the door, she seemed surprised to see Gabby.
"Well, hello there,"
she said.
"Hi, Mrs. Fitzer,"
Gabby said. She felt scared, but she prayed for courage.
"I was the one who threw dirt onto your driveway earlier today."
"Oh, was that you?"
Mrs. Fitzer asked. She looked a little sad.
"But I cleaned it up,"
Gabby said, lifting the broom in her hand.
"I'm very sorry, Mrs. Fitzer. I promise I won't ever do it again. Will you forgive me?"
A smile spread across Mrs. Fitzer's face.
"Yes, of course I forgive you," she said. "Thank you for cleaning it up."
Gabby looked at Mrs. Fitzer's big mulberry trees and had an idea.
"Can I help you rake your leaves in the fall too?"
Gabby asked.
"That's very sweet of you,"
Mrs. Fitzer said.
"But you don't have to. You already made up for what you did."
"But I want to. Please?"
Gabby asked. Mrs. Fitzer agreed. Gabby said goodbye and skipped all the way back to her house. She was glad that when she did something wrong, she could make it right again.
Sidebar. Once I was trading cards with my friend at his house. I saw one, I loved it, and wished to get it, but he never traded it. I was tempted to take it, so I did, but when I got home, I felt bad. So the next day, I went back over to his house and told him. I gave it back and asked for forgiveness. He said he forgave me and thanked me for returning it. When I went home, I felt a warm feeling, and I was happy. Josh S., age 10, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Cleaning Up Dirt Clods, by Alyssa J. Kirkham.
Ready for school backpack. Do you have everything you need for school? Clean Talk, by Jocelyn Christensen. Certain kinds of words invite the Holy Ghost to be with us, and others do not. Here is a fun reminder to help you keep your language clean. C. Choose your words carefully. L. Learn the meanings of words before using them. E. Encourage others with the words you say. A. Avoid slang or replacement words. N. Never use hurtful or vulgar language. Making friends. Here are three tips for making good friends. 1. Try to be friends with others, even if they're different from you. Smile and introduce yourself to those you don't know. 2. Choose good friends who will help you live the gospel. 3. Be a good friend by treating others as Christ would treat them. Study tips. Learning is a big part of following Christ. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 88, verse 118. Here are some tips to help you learn the best you can. 1. Before you start your homework, do 10 jumping jacks or another exercise to help your body feel awake. 2. Study in a quiet, clean place. You could set up a study desk in your room or make a clipboard desk to use anywhere. See page 12. 3. Decide what you will study and for how long. Plan what treat or activity will be your reward for working hard. 4. Take breaks for exercise and water. 5. Say a prayer. Heavenly Father can help you when you are having a hard time. Fruit bug snacks. Make these buggy treats for a fun after-school snack. Be sure to ask an adult for help. You will need 1 apple, 1 small orange, 1 strawberry, 2 blueberries, 1 chewy chocolate candy or caramel, 8 crackers. Apple butterfly. 1. Core the apple and cut it in half. 2. Place the apple, peel side up, on a plate. 3. Microwave the chewy candy for 5 seconds or until soft. 4. Mold the candy into a butterfly body. 5. Press 2 crackers into the body for wings and set the butterfly on the apple. Orange bumblebees. 1. Peel the orange. 2. Split the orange in half for 2 bee bodies. 3. Partially separate the outside wedges from the middle wedges to make gaps for wings. 4. Stick a cracker in each gap to make wings. Strawberry fly. 1. Place crackers on a plate for wings. 2. Slice the strawberry and place the largest slice on top of the crackers for the body. 3. Cut little strips of strawberry to create antenna. 4. Place blueberries on the strawberry slice for eyes. End of Ready for School Backpack.
I hope they call me on a mission. Be better prepared for tomorrow by learning these skills today. Dress for success. Missionaries dress modestly and neatly. They also take care of the clothes they wear. Ask a parent to help you learn these skills. Mending. Sew a button on a shirt, repair a simple tear or hem, shine scuffs on shoes. Laundering. Separate clothes into similar colors. Set the dials on the washer and dryer, add detergent or dryer sheets. Ironing. Carefully select the right iron temperature using the ironing board. Storing. Hang clothes up or fold them. Organize your closet. Mix and match deli rolls. 1 flour tortilla, 3 slices of deli meat, such as turkey or chicken, 2 slices of cheese, such as mozzarella or cheddar, 4 thin slices of cucumber, 4 thin slices of avocado. Step 1. Layer the ingredients on the tortilla. 2. Roll the tortilla up and slice it into pieces. Skewer each roll with a toothpick to hold it together. 3. Try mixing different combinations of meat and cheese and pick which is your favorite. Hello, readers. Dressing appropriately is an important part of being a missionary. President Boyd K. Packer once said that when you dress modestly and nicely, you show the Lord that you know how precious your body is. You're looking good. Sincerely, Elder Trouser. End of I Hope They Call Me on a Mission.
Hoping for a Hit by Weldon Rohner, based on a true story. Joseph gripped the bat and took a deep breath. This was his last chance. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Joseph swung at the baseball and missed. Again.
Strike 3!
The umpire called.
You're out!
Joseph trudged back to his team with his shoulders slumped. How would he ever hit a ball this season? They only had 1 game left.
Good try,
coach said. Joseph shrugged and plopped down on the bench. He was so tired of striking out. He'd worked hard all season long, going to every practice and staying late most days. He even practiced at home whenever he could. His coach once told him he had one of the best swings on the team, so why couldn't he hit the baseball? The next batter from his team swung hard and smashed the ball with a loud crack. Up, up, up it went. A home run. Joseph sighed. He didn't need to hit a home run, just a normal hit. He said a silent prayer to Heavenly Father, asking that somehow he'd be able to hit the ball before the season ended. Tomorrow would be his last chance. Later that night, the missionaries visited Joseph's house. Mom had signed up weeks ago to have them over for dinner. While they ate, Elder Seeley started talking about baseball. Joseph sat up straight and paid very close attention. Apparently, Elder Seeley was some kind of a baseball star back home before his mission. Nobody in Joseph's family had known that before. Mom seemed very interested, too. She turned to Elder Seeley and asked,
Would it be okay if we all went outside so you could give Joseph a few tips on his swing?
Absolutely,
Elder Seeley said. The moment dinner was done, Joseph raced to get his baseball and bat. Joseph couldn't wait to see what the missionary might teach him. Outside, Elder Seeley pitched a few balls and watched Joseph swing.
You're swinging way too fast,
he said.
Slow it down, nice and easy.
Elder Seeley also taught Joseph how to grip the bat better and the best height to hold his elbow.
Let's see that swing again,
Elder Seeley said, and pitched one more time. Joseph swung and heard the crack of the ball hitting his bat. The ball flew over the back fence. He'd done it. He'd actually hit the ball. Mom and the missionaries cheered. A peaceful feeling came over Joseph. He was going to hit the ball in the game tomorrow. He just knew it. The next day, Joseph stepped up to the batting plate and took a deep breath. He tried to remember everything Elder Seeley taught him. The first pitch came. He swung and missed.
Strike 1!
The umpire called out. Joseph didn't let it bother him. He still had 2 more strikes. The next pitch flew out of the strike zone.
Ball 1!
Cried the umpire. Joseph took another deep breath. He could do this. He still felt that same warm feeling inside. The pitcher let the ball fly. Joseph focused and swung. His bat smacked hard against the ball and sent it flying. Joseph stared in wonder for a moment as the baseball soared away. Then he dropped the bat and ran toward first base as fast as he could. A cheer rose from the crowd. Joseph skidded to a stop on the base and smiled. Heavenly Father had answered his prayer. The answer hadn't come the way he'd expected, but Joseph knew Heavenly Father had sent someone to help him. End of the story, Hoping for a Hit.
Tech Talk. We would like to get to know you better so that we can send you stories and activities that are the best for you. With help from a parent, please fill out this survey and mail it to us. You can find our address on page 48. You can also fill out this survey at lds.org/friend. Thank you from the friend. I am a boy, girl. I am blank years old. I use the internet never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. If I do use the internet, I use it for check all that apply. Homework, games, learning activities, videos, friend website, other LDS.org sites, other, blank. I use an iPad or tablet, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. I use an iPhone or smartphone, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. If I do use a tablet or smartphone, I use it for check all that apply. Homework, games, learning activities, videos, friend website, other LDS.org sites, other, blank. I play video games, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. I watch television, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. I read for fun, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. I play outside, never, once a month, once a week, once every few days, daily for blank hours per day. End of the section, Tech Talk. The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. Matt, Mandy, and Mom are sitting at the breakfast table, eating breakfast. Mom says, "Mandy, you haven't eaten much. Is something wrong?" Mandy is staring sadly at her cereal bowl. She says,
"I was just thinking about these three girls in my class. They're not very nice. They make fun of me, and I don't know why."
She looks up at her mom.
"Audrey might be okay. I think she just goes along with the other two. I'm trying to be friends with her."
"Good idea," Mom replies. Matt joins in.
"Some of the kids at school make fun of Franco when the teachers aren't looking. Tuesday, when they were teasing him in the hall, I just walked up and started talking to him, and we ignored them. Those kids don't even know Franco. He's a pretty cool guy."
Matt is having trouble getting milk out of the milk carton. He tips it up and looks into the carton. Suddenly, the milk pours out on his face.
"Whoa, now I'm feeling pretty cool myself."
End of the section, The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. For Little Friends, Jesus Calms the Tempest by Margot May. One day, when Jesus and his disciples were sailing on a ship, there was a terrible storm. The waves crashed, the winds blew, the disciples were scared that the ship would sink. The disciples looked for Jesus. They found him sleeping. "Save us!" they cried. "Why are ye fearful?" Jesus asked. Jesus stood up and commanded the storm to stop. The disciples watched as the waves stopped crashing and the winds stopped blowing. The storm had ended, just as Jesus had commanded it to do. Sometimes, when scary things happen, we feel afraid. But Jesus is near. Thinking about him can help us feel safe and calm. From Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. End of the section, For Little Friends.
Verse, when I go to sleep,
by Sean E. Zelenka. When I go to sleep at night, I sing a happy song. I know that day that's on his way. The darkness won't last long. Jesus made the moon and stars. He gave us day and night. I never need to fear the dark, for Jesus is my light. I can always feel his love, the peace his spirit brings. Jesus loves me and is near. I need not fear a thing. End of verse. Jesus loves me and is near.
What Happened to Your Arm? By Sarah Chow, based on a true story. Amy makes a new friend with a question and some crayons. If you want a friend, you must show that you care. Children's Songbook, page 262. The cast was blue. Amy had seen a cast on Lee's arm at school, but she had never seen a cast on an elderly man's arm. Just before state conference started, Amy leaned forward and asked the man in the next row what happened to his arm. The man smiled and turned around.
"I have a sore muscle,"
he said.
"Ouch,"
said Amy.
"My name's Amy. What's yours?"
"I'm Charlie Young,"
he said, and used his other hand to shake her hand.
"And this is my wife, Nancy."
Amy sat back in her seat. She knew Mom had brought paper and crayons in her bag, so Amy got them out and colored three pictures for Brother Young to make him feel better. "Your pictures are beautiful," Nancy said when Amy gave them to Brother Young.
"I think I feel a little better already,"
Brother Young said. In her prayers that night, Amy prayed that Brother Young's arm would get better. 6 months later, it was time for state conference again. In the chapel, Amy looked all around for Brother and Sister Young.
"There they are,"
Mom said, pointing across the room.
"Let's go sit by them."
"How's your arm?"
Amy asked Brother Young once they sat down.
"All better."
Brother Young held up his arm for her to see. No cast.
"I put your pictures on my refrigerator. They help me feel better. Thank you."
"You're welcome,"
Amy said. Mom nodded and leaned forward.
"Brother and Sister Young, we'd like it if you could come to Amy's birthday party in a few weeks."
"How old are you?"
Brother Young asked.
"I'm turning 8. How old are you?"
Amy asked.
"I'm 83. Say, if you're turning 8, does that mean you're getting baptized soon?"
"Yes,"
Amy said.
"Can you come to my baptism, too? I'd like you to say the closing prayer."
"I would be honored,"
Brother Young said.
"And Nancy and I would be happy to come to your party. We'll have to think of a very special present for such a special friend."
A few weeks later, Amy's birthday finally arrived. Charlie and Nancy Young came, and so did lots of Amy's school friends. When it was time to open presents, Mom had Amy cover her eyes while Dad brought something into the room. "Okay, you can look now," Dad said. Amy opened her eyes and saw that her first present was a brown guinea pig.
"Wow, my first pet,"
Amy said. Amy's second present was from Brother and Sister Young. It was a beautiful blanket that was almost as soft as the guinea pig.
"Yellow, purple, and orange. Those are my favorite colors. How did you know?"
Amy asked.
"Your mom told me. I crocheted it myself as a surprise for you,"
Brother Young said.
"Thank you,"
Amy said, hugging Charlie and Nancy.
"I have a surprise for you too, Brother Young. I am going to name my guinea pig Charlie after you."
Brother and Sister Young laughed. "I'm sure you've found the very best name," Sister Young said.
"And the very best friends,"
Amy agreed. End of the story. What Happened to Your Arm? By Sarah Chow.
His favorite things are riding his bike, playing superheroes, reading and singing. Gabriel's favorite songs are Nephi's Courage and Praise to the Man.
The primary of the Prospect Ward, Adelaide, Australia, Furl Stake, wanted to work on bringing their scriptures to church. They decided to put a fuzzy in a jar every time they did, because the scriptures give us a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. At the end of the year, they joined the fuzzies together. Their fuzzy snake was 6.5 meters, 21 feet long. All the children enjoyed this activity, and some days, every one of them had their scriptures with them at primary.
Other contributors include Michelle D., age 11, Utah, USA, James C., age 5, Peru, and Carter M., age 10, Iowa, USA. Would you like to send something to show and tell? Turn to page 48 to find out how. What do you know about pioneers in your family? Write and tell us about the stories you like from your family history. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of show and tell.
Bringing primary home. I will serve God with all my heart, might, mind, and strength. One day at recess, Isabella saw a girl who was crying because someone had said something mean to her. Isabella felt bad for the girl and walked over to comfort her.
Would you like to play with me?
She asked the girl. That day, Isabella served with her heart. She followed the example of Jesus Christ and showed love to someone in need. We can show our love for Heavenly Father by serving others with our heart, our might, our mind, and our strength. We can serve with our whole selves. How do we serve with our heart? We can serve with our heart by showing love and kindness to others. We care about what others need. When we serve cheerfully, we are serving with our heart. How do we serve with our mind? We can serve with our mind by thinking of ways to help others. When we see needs of those around us and think about what we could do to help, we are serving with our mind. How do we serve with our might and strength? Serving with our might and strength could be doing chores and working hard to help others. We can often bless and serve older people by doing things that are hard for them to do. Let's talk. As a family, decide on some things you could do together as you serve with your whole self. Explain that whenever we serve others, we are serving Heavenly Father. Serving with your whole self. Choose a way you would like to serve from each of the areas below, or think of your own ideas. Heart. Tell your parents or siblings that you love them. Do something kind for someone who is alone. Mind. Write a letter to a grandparent or another important person. Offer to help a brother or sister with homework. Help plan a family service project. Might and strength. When your parents ask you to do something, work hard at it. Help a brother or sister with a chore. Rake leaves, pull weeds, or do something else to help your family. Song and Scripture. Called to Serve, Children's Songbook, page 174. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 5. End of the section, Bringing Primary Home.
For Older Kids, I've Got This, by David Dixon, based on a true story. The lesson wasn't prepared, but Thomas knew what to do. We love each other more and more with every family night. Children's Songbook, page 195. The front door closed behind Thomas with a swoosh and a click as he hurried to check the family calendar. "I was right," he called loudly. "It is my turn to teach the lesson Family Home Evening." Mom's eyes widened. "Honey, I'm so sorry we didn't plan your lesson last night. I thought it was my turn to teach." Thomas shook his head. "Don't worry, Mom. I know what to do." Normally, she helped him prepare the day before, but he was 10 years old now. He could plan a lesson by himself. Mom smiled and raised an eyebrow. "You're sure? You don't need any help?" "Yep, I've got this." Later that night, Thomas pulled out his copy of The Friend. He opened it to an article he'd read called "The 10 Commandments Teach Me to Love God and His Children," September 2012. As Thomas read it out loud to his family, he noticed Mom looking very proud of him. After the lesson, it was time for the activity on the next page. Thomas had already cut out the labels that read, "Honoring God, respecting parents and family, and respecting others." As part of the activity, they took turns sharing examples of how they'd kept commandments the past week. "I said my prayers last night," said his big sister Ella. "What group do we think that falls in?" asked Thomas. After discussing, they picked honoring God. After the lesson, Ella served some tasty cookies she'd baked. Then they delivered some of the extras to friends. Thomas felt so happy he could help out. That was one of his favorite family home evenings ever. Where is it in the friend? Would you like to find a story and activity for family home evening like Thomas did? Just look under Bringing Primary Home on the contents page of the friend. Of course, you can also use any other story from the friend.
Finding Amigos by Leslie Albrecht Huber, based on a true story. Spanish was so hard. How would Rachel ever make friends? Search diligently, pray always, and be believing. Doctrine and Covenants, section 90, verse 24. Rachel waved goodbye to Mom and walked into the school courtyard. Her heart started to pound. Only 2 weeks ago, Rachel's family had moved from Wisconsin to Valencia, Spain. Rachel had been excited. She loved meeting new people and knew she would make friends. But now she wasn't so sure. Rachel could only say a few things in Spanish, so she hardly understood anything the kids said to her. "Rachel!" one boy called, running toward her. Rachel's heart sank. "What is your name?" he asked in choppy English. Some other boys and girls joined him, giggling. Every day the kids asked Rachel the same simple question in English. It didn't matter that they already knew her name. They just wanted to make her try to talk in Spanish. No matter what she said, they all laughed. Then they'd run off, leaving her alone. "What is your name?" another girl repeated. Rachel felt her face get hot. She pushed her way through the crowd and ran to her classroom. When the day ended, she hurried to meet Mom. Rachel felt tears stinging her eyes. "What's wrong?" Mom asked as they began walking home. "I don't like school," Rachel blurted out. "Everyone stares at me. I can't understand what they say. I'll never make friends." "Making new friends can be hard, and it can take a while," Mom agreed. "But do you remember the blessing your dad gave you before we moved?" Rachel thought for a minute. "He said living in Spain would be good for our whole family, especially me, and he said I would make good friends here." She thought of how Dad's words had given her a calm, peaceful feeling. "But how can I make friends?" "What do you think you could do?" Mom asked. "I can pray for help," Rachel said. "That's a great idea," Mom agreed. "I know Heavenly Father will help you, but you have to do your part too. Maybe we could work harder at speaking Spanish at home so you can learn faster." Rachel sighed. After a day of trying to understand everyone at school, she just wanted to come home and speak English. But she knew if she wanted Heavenly Father's help, she would have to try her hardest too. The next week, Rachel prayed every night to make friends. And she spoke Spanish as much as possible. She even prayed in Spanish with Dad's help. Soon Rachel began to notice small changes. She could understand some of her teacher's instructions. She could pick out more words when her classmates spoke. Then one day at recess, Rachel felt a tap on her arm. "Hola, Rachel," said Patricia, a girl from her class. Three other girls stood with her. Rachel cringed. Were they going to laugh at her? "Would you like to play tag with us?" Patricia asked in Spanish. Rachel was surprised at how easily she understood her. She waited, but nobody laughed. They seemed to mean it. "Sí, I'd love to," Rachel said in Spanish, a smile spreading across her face. "Gracias, Heavenly Father," she said in her heart. She had done her part, and Heavenly Father had helped her. Sidebar, you can learn Spanish too. "Hello, my name is..." "Hola, me llamo..." "Would you like to be my friend?" "¿Quieres ser mi amigo?" "What is your favorite game?" "¿Cuál es tu juego favorito?" "Goodbye, see you later." "Adiós, hasta luego." End of the story, Finding Amigos, by Leslie Albrecht Huber.
Guide to the Friend, Possible ideas for family home evening. Number one, as a family read, I hope they call me on a mission. Talk about dress standards and practice some of the dress for success techniques together, like ironing and mending. Number two, read Finding Amigos. Make a list of ways you can be a friend of those around you. Number three, read President Dieter F. Uchtdorf's message, There is Work to Do. Set goals for how you can work harder and do better at school. You can use a Ready for School backpack on pages 24 to 25 to help. Number four, read the Bringing Primary Home lesson on serving God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. Talk about ways you and your family can serve God and serve others. And number five, fill out the friend survey and send it to us. Talk about how the church magazines can benefit your family. Note, the friend can be found on the internet at lds.org/friend. To subscribe online, go to store.lds.org. To send us a letter, drawing, or poem, please fill out a form and include it with your submission. Please also include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. Submissions will not be returned and may be edited for length and clarity. Children whose work is submitted should be at least 3 years old. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email to the friend at ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, state, province, country. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to print my child's submission and photo in print or online. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. Topical index to this issue of the Friend. Book of Mormon, Special Witness Elder L. Tom Perry. Choose the Right, I Chose the Right. Church History, On the Trail, the Nauvoo Temple and Carthage Jail. Clothing, I Hope They Call Me on a Mission. Courage, The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy, Jesus Calms the Tempest, When I Go to Sleep. Example, Writing it Right, Friend to Friend, Faithful Examples. Family, Question Corner, and Friends Around the World. Family Home Evening, For Older Kids, I've Got This. Family Home Evening in 7 Easy Steps. Friendship, What Happened to Your Arm? For Older Kids, Finding Amigos. Jesus Christ, Stories of Jesus, Jesus is My Shepherd. Jesus Calms the Tempest. Kindness, The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy, Bringing Primary Home. Missionary Work, Writing it Right. Prayer, Hoping for a Hit. For Older Kids, Finding Amigos. Repentance, Cleaning Up Dirt Clods. School, Ready for School Backpack. Service, Bobby's Birthday Surprise, Friends Around the World, and Bringing Primary Home. Tithing, Friend to Friend, Faithful Examples. Word of Wisdom, I Chose the Right. Work, From the First Presidency, There is Work to Do, Hoping for a Hit. End of The Guide to the Friend.
Prophet Portrait, David O. McKay. David O. McKay grew up on his family's farm in Huntsville, Utah. He loved animals and kept horses throughout his life. When he served a mission in Great Britain, he discovered a saying that became his motto, Whate'er thou art, act well thy part. He returned to Great Britain many times and dedicated the London, England Temple in 1958.
End of Prophet Portrait, David O. McKay.